welcome to another episode of Brick House. Today we are previewing the fifth worst team in the NBA for the 2015-2016 season, the Minnesota Timberwolves. On this episode of Brick House, we have a guest all the way from Minnesota himself, Julian. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Matt, we have a tradition of starting each Brick House episode by explaining the basketball team in a non-basketball way for our audience to understand if they haven't been following the Timberwolves as closely as us NBA League Pass dorks.
That's right. So what is the way? What is the way for these non-dorks to know what these dorks are thinking?
Well, I think all three of us are pretty convinced that while we're focusing these first episodes of Brick House with the worst teams in the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot of promise. They have a lot of talent, a lot of upside, similar to a television show I started watching this summer, Matt.
What television show is that, Bob?
It's called Mr. Robot. It's on USA. It turned out to be really good. I would describe it as a Fight Club with hackers and Patrick Bateman as the villain. It's pretty great.
I've heard a lot of people say good things about that.
It's awesome. It's my favorite TV show to come around in a long time, so I'm really excited about it.
The comparison is I still think the Timberwolves are a couple years away from really realizing their full potential, marking their place on the map. But I do see their stars as being having the potential to be household names in a couple of years. I think that, you know, Mr. Robot, if they can continue to up the stakes that they've set as really high from the beginning, I think they could be a kind of a Breaking Bad type cult following in the next couple of years.
Yep.
They're edgy. They're young, much like the Timberwolves. They got this old guy hanging around that no one is sure if he's real or just some sort of figment of their imagination haunting them, taunting them to be better. That's like the Christian Slater, Tyler Durden-esque character in Mr. Robot. We're talking, of course, about Kevin Garnett. He is an angry voice inside Zach LaVine's head. Is that a 20-year veteran yelling in my face, or is it my own ambition? I don't know. We're going to have to watch the Timberwolves to find out.
Previously on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, you got to start with the David Kahn tenure. KG left a little over a decade ago, and ever since then we haven't made the playoffs, mostly because during Kahn's tenure, he decided to do the draft before he hired a head coach. Ooh. This resulted in him taking two point guards with his back-to-back 5 and 6 picks that year, 2009, I believe. Passed on Steph Curry, league MVP, league champion, for a guy who no longer plays in the NBA. I would be surprised if he's even playing professional basketball anymore. Johnny Flynn, the single worst NBA player I've ever watched over the course of a season. His sophomore year, I believe, ranks like up there in any kind of analytics for worst professional season of all time.
Wow.
Getting him instead of Steph Curry was frustrating. We did get Ricky Rubio. He didn't come over for 2 years. And during that time, we proceeded to mess up the draft over and over. We took Wesley Johnson over DeMarcus Cousins, who's now one of my favorite guys in the league. You know, not as egregious, but the next year we took Derek Williams over Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson. He was the consensus number two pick at the time. Still not a great look. Anytime you mess up the draft 3 years in a row with top five picks, you're going to get set back a couple.
Johnny Flynn, I remember he was in a 6 overtime game versus Syracuse.
Yep, absolutely. That was the game that did us in. Like, if that game never happens, we probably have Steph Curry right now.
Minnesota Timberwolves owner Julian, I gotta say, has gotta be the most boring owner I've researched so far.
Yep.
He bought a printing company that he worked for some 400 years ago. At one point, he was a U.S. senator. The only interesting thing I could really find about Glenn Taylor, he's just an American who's brought himself up on his bootstraps, from what I can tell. And he's, you know, squeaky clean, except for one incident in the year 2000.
Yeah, he's more notable for what he did after buying the team than before.
Yeah, well, he's owned them for a long time, well, since their inception, I believe. But in the year 2000, he got penalized and suspended from the league for a year. Mm-hmm. Before Donald Sterling, this was the biggest suspension of an NBA owner in NBA history, and it was for a wink-wink deal he made with Joe Smith, of all people, who at that time, this was like his, Joe Smith's fifth or sixth NBA team. You know, what he did was he agreed to pay him more, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, as long as he took a below-market contract.
Basically, take like 2 or 3 years of 1 year, $1 million.
Right.
And then after a certain number of years, we'll give you, you know,
yeah,
however much we can.
We promise. The strangest thing is that he would take this risk for such a mediocre player like Joe Smith.
All you need to know about Glenn Taylor is that he runs a country club. He's only interested in working with the people he's worked with before.
And we haven't made the playoffs for 10 years. Let's just stick with that.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, guys. This is working. I'm so comfortable. It's like, yeah, you're a billionaire.
And now, the starting lineup for your Minnesota Timberwolves!
They have 10 players who have been drafted within the past 3 years.
Really?
Something like that. They're wildly young.
Right.
Outside of KG and Kevin Martin and Andre Miller, basically, it's youth everywhere.
Oh, I forgot. They got the professor. That's a nice pickup.
They need to teach these youngsters something about old man ball.
Yep. They've just brought in Tayshaun Prince, too.
Wow.
Right.
This past draft, they traded for Tyus Jones in the draft, and they drafted, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns. They have Towns, but they also have Gorgie Dang. I knew as soon as I was saying it, I was like, this is going to be wrong. Dang out of Louisville. He played well a few years back, and he played well last year. But also they traded for Adrian Payne. I think they traded for him at...
gave up on first-rounder trade deadline. For Payne.
But they also have Bennett there. So they just have a bunch of youth competing with each other. They have... But backing up Wiggins, they have Shabazz Muhammad.
He was number one player in his high school class.
Oh, yeah.
One or two coming out of high school before everyone discovered he was 25.
Yeah, and he was kind of lazy.
25-year-old college freshman. Kind
of lazy, too.
He's actually one of the players I'm most excited about in the Timberwolves. He came to the league pretty lazy, unmotivated, out of shape, worked his ass off in the second year, in the jump between first and second year, and came back just a completely different player.
Drop some pounds, right?
Yeah, bulked up. He's actually much more a four than a three. He's got one of the better post games of any young player I've seen in the league.
Yeah.
Tenacious rebounder. Struggles on defense, but he's a really ideal six-man scorer off the bench. And I'm excited about what he's going to do this year.
Now, the official, at least the official brick house position from my perspective is these players should start all their young guys all the time. I think I've repeated.
Yeah.
But the thing about with Garnett, Garnett's going to start, but he's only going to play what?
You got to introduce Garnett in the starting line.
Right. Oh, yeah. But he's only going to play what? 20, 25 minutes a game?
Max.
So essentially.
They just call a timeout after each jump ball.
Yeah. So
good job, KG.
Yeah. But
go back to yelling at Zach LaVine at the end of the bench.
But that gives a lot of minutes out there for, Payne or Bennett or even Towns, if they want to play Towns at the four for some reason, because he can kind of stretch the floor and shoot threes a little bit.
Yep.
And they also have Nikola Pekovic, who, as you pointed out, is wandering around on a pair of paper mache ankles at this point.
Yeah, sadly.
He does look like one of the scariest dudes in the league.
He's the coolest guy in the league for sure. His tattoo is...
He looks like a Bond villain.
His tattoo is a guy in a cloak with a sword standing on a pile of skulls.
If some team paired him with Marcin Gortat, they would have two just terrifying-looking people in the middle.
Yeah.
Record prediction!
Well, last year, the T-Wolves finished the worst record in the league, 16-66, which helped them win the NBA draft. I got him down 23 wins this year, 23-59.
23 was the number that popped into my head, too. I'm going with that.
We have a consensus. Wow. Okay.
I'm going for the full 30 on them.
30 big ones. I like
it. I think that
wow.
We're now kind of in that that year right before we make a playoff push, I think having all the veterans we have, Kevin Garnett, Andre Miller, Tayshaun Prince, Kevin Martin, I mean, we have some solid players, Nikola Pekovic. So if we stay healthy, I think 30 wins is definitely possible for most of us coming towards the end of the year as we start to check.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Seen with old Kevin Love, formerly of the Minnesota Timberwolves, at the Beverly Hills Hotel this summer.
Okay.
Just a couple days before Kevin signed the contract to stay with the Cavaliers, new 5-year max contract. LeBron joined the Miami Heat. He made some mention in a press conference, you know, saying, you know, Kevin Love, you know, you might want to join us in a couple of years. That was probably a couple games into the season when he realized Chris Bosh wasn't into getting rebounds. But yeah, I wanted to just mention LeBron was meeting at the Beverly Hills Hotel with Kevin Love, who Julian brings to my attention may have had a little reconstructive surgery.
Oh yeah,
very Beverly Hills of him. Julian, could you tell us the story?
Yeah, after Kevin Love's first big year when he averaged 20 points, 15 rebounds, he wanted to slim down. He wanted to get more exposure. He wanted to get TV cameos. He wanted to do commercials. So he lost a lot of weight. But what he also did is he had some weird kind of jaw reconstruction surgery to make him look more like a Brad Pitt instead of the round Pillsbury Doughboy he was. So he had his teeth done. He had the jaw did. And he Taco Bell commercial. So congrats, Kevin Love. Good job, buddy.
Wow. Lose 50 pounds to get a Taco Bell commercial. Mm-hmm. That seems...
And an Entourage cameo.
Gained those
lasted,
right,
I think,
back.
All of 4 seconds. So congrats.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
My relationship with snow is that I do not own snow clothes. I don't really own many warm clothes in general. If you were to see me, you would see me in basically the same thing always.
T-shirt, shorts.
Yeah. So that's my relationship with snow is I've been around it. I know it exists. I am never really prepared for it. And I don't really understand it. I think that's my relationship.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Julian, I imagine you have something quite the opposite.
I've spent 20 Christmases in Minnesota, winters, so very familiar with the snow. And my favorite snow experience was probably when I was in college in Minnesota, waking up in April. It was April 1st.
Uh-huh.
I got the window, and it was the best April Fool's joke ever because it was snowing.
Nice.
Great. Yeah, when I was in college, I went on a spring break trip to Mexico and drove from New Mexico through Arizona and California, and it was a crazy March. There was snow like 50, 60 miles outside of Phoenix, up in the mountains coming out of like Payson area.
Yeah.
And there were people, I imagined, from Phoenix that were pulled over on the side of the highway and climbing up the hill with their garbage can lids or whatever and sledding down the hill, which ended in a highway.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were just so excited for any little patch of snow were willing to risk.
Personal safety goes out the window. Yeah.
There was also snow not far outside of San Diego. I felt like, you know, this spring break was going to be some sort of end of the world type trip. Definitely watch this team, I think, is closing argument. League Pass is designed for teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves this year. And I think they're going to be a perennial playoff team in just a couple of years. So go and see these guys while the games aren't that expensive, while you still can.
On the next episode of Brick House.
The sneak peek to number 25 team on the Brick House preview. Their GM and former player smokes cigarettes, and their owner is considered playing 4-on-5 and having a player cherry pick on offense. It worked in sixth grade girls basketball, so why wouldn't it work in the NBA?
I'm really excited for this one.
So excited to preview the next team on the next episode of Brick House.